Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show, except for the following segment, is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up now for the big Sweet 16 Elite 8 weekend. I think you start thinking about baseball season. It starts next week. So at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. What a game at the Garden last night between Michigan State and Kansas State.
Jerome Tang sets it up, going for the line! Johnson on the receiving end. Here's Hauser, gives it up. Clock ticks. Hall finding Walker. Walker already stripped by Noel. Ball is loose. Noel comes out of the pack. Noel dribbles and he lays it in. Count the basket and Kansas State wins it. The Wildcats are headed for the Elite Eight. What a game.
Brian Anderson, excellent announcer, terrific guy. I got a chance to talk to him several times when we were out at Des Moines. With the call of Marquise Noel last night, I think he had 20, but I know he had an NCAA tournament record, 19 assists last night.
Yep, 20 and 19. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, and it played hurt. You know, at Kansas State, when Jerome Tang came in, he only had two players plus a recruiting class available to him. One of the two players was Marquise Noel. Okay. Everybody take a deep breath. It's time now for the entertainment that only the Bitterness Cafe can provide, and I don't mean a string quartet.
That's one thing we don't have, in fact. But I mentioned, and Doug from Wellsboro kindly pointed this out, this is not about Jim Boeheim, but it is about another coach who I have grown to hate over the last couple of days. Real fast.
Maybe dislike would be a better word.
Okay, fine. Dislike. Let's go with that. Based on his arrogant, obnoxious, sore loser type of attitude that was clearly seen in the game last night as they got their rear ends handed to him by UConn. Arkansas went in there last night feeling all good about themselves, as they should. They had a good win against Kansas. I thought they would be a threat maybe to UConn slightly. I still thought UConn was a better team. But you know what? UConn, once they brought in that physicality that they bring, Arkansas wanted no part of it. And that is such a loser mentality. And it starts with that head coach and Eric Musselman, who I still have nightmares from, ripping off his stinking shirt, showing off that 50-year-old scrunchety-looking chest to the crowd with his obnoxious wife and daughter. Oh, I couldn't stand any of that. I am so glad they got their rear ends handed to him last night by UConn, and they got that piece of humble pie. I hope when he took his shirt off last night, he took a nice cold shower with it. He deserved everything they got last night. UConn showed him, oh yeah, you think you can play? Look at us. They couldn't keep up, not even 10 minutes into the game. They were pathetic last night, led by their pathetic, obnoxious head coach and Eric Musselman. Good for you, UConn.
Oh, you're done. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was more. Okay.
I mean, really, you got to know your place and title when it comes to these things. When you take it off the shirt and all this other stuff, you got to know your place. That's just, you got to know that. Total violation. I'm glad he got it handed to him last night.
I was there when he took the shirt off, but I didn't see him do it because it was to my right, and I was doing our pregame show. So I did not see him do it.
Yeah, it probably would have thrown you off, so it's a good thing you didn't.
No, it wouldn't have, but it would, I just would have looked over and went, whatever. I don't get thrown off by
that. Yeah, no, you don't, no.
So, I'm not really...
It was not pretty, concerned. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else?
Yes, in fact. I'm once again going to say, Earth to Aaron Boone. Look at what Anthony Volpe once again did today, answering the bell. Got the start at shortstop behind Garrett Cole as Oswald Peraza was sent to the split squad game. He rose to the challenge. He had his third homer of the spring to dead center field. Start the kid. Put him on the roster and start the kid. If you don't start him after that performance today, then you're just a scaredy cat. Play the kid. He's ready to go. You don't need any more evidence. Today was the icing on the cake. Start him in center and at shortstop next week for opening day against San Francisco. Please.
Okay. There you go. That's great.
Pablo Lopez, who faced Volpe, the starting pitcher for Minnesota today, he said, quote, he saw what he saw from me because he struck him out in the first inning. Then he went to the plate with a better understanding and idea. Then he executed that plan. That shows a lot of maturity. That shows a lot of promise. I rest my case.
But you can drive over to Scranton Wilkes-Barre and watch him. Personally.
It's okay. I would rather take the 3-hour drive and then the pain in the rear end extra trip to get to the Bronx to go watch him there than just take the easy drive up 80 and 81 to go see him in PNC Field and Moosic.
But what if he starts out 0 for 12?
Doesn't matter. He'll work through it. Let him work through it. Stop babying him, as I said yesterday.
I see.
He's a big boy. He can handle it.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm done now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Look, we can go back to the show now?
Yes.
Oof, just kind of wondering. So you're not big on Eric Musselman?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I just want to make sure I got it right. How do you feel about Mark Few?
Great coach.
You know him as well as you do Musselman.
Yes, but Pew, at least from what I've seen, I could have missed a couple things because, you know, they're on at midnight every night on ESPN2 that I never see them during the regular season until now. But he seems like a very humble guy. He's a consistent coach. He's consistent with that program. Very low-key. Does his job.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been around Mark Few. And, yeah, seemed like a cool dude to me when I was around him. It was a long time ago. Musselman, of course, I was just around, and I'm like, sorry, but he's not even remotely my cup of tea. My luck, he'll take this job. I'm like, ah, great. I'll have to retract everything I just said.
You and me both.
Like, okay, great. All right. So. Penn State hockey, Michigan Tech, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is when they drop the puck this evening in Allentown. First time since 2018 they've been in the NCAA tournament. And I think ESPNU has it tonight, if I recall correctly. It's an ESPNU game. Clay Matvick, I think, is doing the play-by-play of it. But yeah. Let me just check. Yeah, Clay Matvick and Sean Ricklin will be the play-by-play guys on that tonight. Very nice. Very, very nice. There you go. All right. Sweet 16 is tonight as well. So hockey's at 5. That doesn't interfere with anything. And then the Sweet 16 is this evening. Alabama is back in action tonight. And Alabama will play San Diego State. Miami's against Houston. That's in Kansas City. And then Princeton's against Creighton, and then Xavier, Texas in Kansas City. It's another year where the top coaches in the women's tournament, this year they have two regions. One of them is in Greenville. Corey Close of UCLA and Don Staley of South Carolina are asking the NCAA to do a separate TV deal for the NCAA women's tournament. Now, the current deal is a full championship package. So, in other words, the same deal is the same one that covers the NCAA wrestling championships as well as the women's basketball championship. And right now, the NCAA, from all of those championships, doles out $34 million a year. So here's the spot that they're in right now. They're in the same spot as everybody else at this moment. ESPN is about to lay off workers. Not a good sign. ESPN is right now being diligent with its negotiations with the Pac-12. Because if they're told to be careful with money, that's part of it. And ESPN needs, quote, its war chest for its bid for the NBA. So while it's an interesting time for the women's tournament to be up for bid, because the other contract's coming to a close, the question is it a good time? The deal runs through next year. And this deal is for all the Division I championships with the exception of the men's basketball and football championships. Independent media expert Ed Desser estimated the annual broadcast rights for women's basketball would be worth $81 to $112 million in 2025. Say that's a 10-year deal. We're talking about $800 million to $1.1 billion over 10 years. I'm not saying whether it's worth it or not, but again, is there a network willing to pay out that number? And considering the circumstances, again, timing means everything. So here's the timing of this. And this is something they requested last year, too. But the contract's up. So what do you do with it? I mean, how high do you want to bid it for ESPN? I don't think Fox is bidding for it. To be honest with you, I don't think Fox is bidding for it. I don't think CBS is bidding for it. CBS, I mean, how do you think Turner got involved? Turner got involved with its cable subscriptions, which allowed them, in conjunction with CBS, to produce the number the NCAA was looking at. CBS could not produce the number themselves. But with Turner, they were able to produce the number because now you're combining advertising to go with their cable subscriptions. So now if you're looking at ESPN, I mean, NBC now has Sunday Night Football. They've got the Big Ten football package. They also have the Olympics. They have the Triple Crown races. And they want to bid for the NBA. Fox wants to bid for the NBA. Turner wants to keep the NBA. They're already on TNT. They want to keep it. And Turner already has the NHL to go with it. And ESPN wants to bid on the NBA. Right? I'm not saying the women's basketball tournament is not worth it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking circumstances here. What are the circumstances? And the circumstances are the leader would be ESPN for obvious reasons. And they've been carrying the tournament and doing it very well for years now. But ESPN is about to lay off employees. And ESPN is about to now start with the SEC TV contract in a year. And ESPN desperately wants to keep the NBA. And that rights fee for the NBA might be triple. ESPN is already paying $1.4 billion a year for the NBA. They might have to pay between $4 and $4.5 billion. So what money is left behind to make a bid on this? I'm only asking. You have to have the funds to do it. It just can't be the goodwill nature of it. This is a business transaction. And I completely understand why the coaches are politicking for it, why they're trying to put the public pressure on people to bid for it. But you can put all the public pressure you want. If you're sitting there as a network saying, I'm happy with the properties I have, and by the way, I'm thinking about bidding for that property, all the goodwill in the world is not going to matter. It's still a business deal.
Call me nuts, but I got to question the future of SportsCenter shows other than Scott Van Pelt at night. You just don't have... ESPN's running out of money to keep that going. Because probably all their on-air layoffs are probably going to be what? SportsCenter anchors.
When they talk about layoffs, it's not just like on-air personnel.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be off-air too. Yeah, absolutely.
It's directors, producers, on-air talent, floor managers, things like that. I mean, you know, camera people. I mean, it's going to be a wide swath that's cut. The understanding is the only untouchables at the moment are Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Stephen A. Smith, Scott Van Pelt.
Yep. I mean, really, when you think about it, even with the behind the scenes people that might be part of those layoffs, I mean, a lot of those are going to probably be developed to those SportsCenter shows, because really ESPN has to start prioritizing where they need those personnel for. It's the stupid debate shows. It's the pre and post game shows for all the sports, the sports themselves. And that's it.
Yeah.
I think ESPN is shaping up that way. Then you have one SportsCenter at 11 o'clock at night with SVP. I think they're heading in that direction.
We'll see. We'll have to see what they want to do. I don't know. But I just know that you would expect them to be a primary bidder 2 years ago. Now I have my doubts. I mean, I think they'll bid, but it's not going to be to the numbers we're seeing there. Especially with the NBA contract coming up. They have now got to gauge where they are with all this. And the question will be, do you have a competitor to bid against them? And I don't know about that. I mean, Fox is the Fox and NBC and CBS, no offense, the inn is full. And to cover something like that, you have to have a wide range. I mean, CBS and Turner are able to pull this off on the men's side because you got three Turner stations available in True, TNT, and TBS to go with CBS. I mean, that's where you get the flexibility. Yeah, we'll see. I don't blame them for asking. Believe me, they're trying to promote their game. Totally get it. We will come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, live out of the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Your Yankees last year made a $16 million profit. Dodgers, $14 million. Red Sox made a profit of $72 million. All right? Now here's some of the guys that lost. The Mets lost $138 million last year. Yikes. The Phillies lost $3.7 million. Kind of hard to believe, but they did. And they've got a big TV contract. The Blue Jays lost $33.7 million. The White Sox lost $53 million. The Padres lost $53 million. I know that Dick and Milton loves the Orioles. They made $67 million. Let's see. Colorado Rockies lost $9 million. Tigers lost $26 million. Twins lost $27 million. The Pirates made $54.5 million. Eek. He's spending on nobody. Anybody else lose money? The Reds lost 9.6. The Marlins lost 500,000. It's never a money loser when we have the king on the show. Welcome.
We're still waiting on that money, though.
I put you in charge of so little. I mean, here are the rights fees. Here are the rights. So, let's see what the rights fees are. Okay? This is from the, you know, paid to the team. Diamondbacks get $68 million. The Braves get $100 million. Yeah, don't do that. Where's the other one here? I saw this is from Forbes, by the way. I read the article in Forbes. The Pirates' rights fee is $61 million. The Phillies. Their rights fee, let's see, where's that number again? Don't care about your Nokia commercial. Really don't. Yeah, man. I'll get out of there. There we go. Orioles rights fee, $61 million. Red Sox, $97 million. Cubs, $99 million. White Sox, $60 million. Reds, $48 million. Cleveland, $55 million. Colorado, $57 million. Tigers, $60 million rights fee, local. Astros, $73 million. Royals, $45 million. Angels, $112 million. $112 million. Dodgers, $196 million. Marlins, $49 million. Brewers, only $33 million. Twins, $42 million. Mets, $88 million. The Yankees, $143 million. Average viewership, by the way, 231,000, which is number one. A's, $53 million. Phillies, 125. They average 131,000 viewers a game, which I think is second. Yeah, that's second behind the Yankees. The Pirates, $61 million in rights fees. Average viewership is 28,000. Padres, $47 million. Giants, $92 million. Mariners, $100 million. Cardinals, $59 million. Rays, 56. The Rays viewership is not that bad. 52,000 a game. I mean, it's more than the Rangers. The Rangers are 111 rights fees, 21,000 viewership, and the Nationals, 61 million, 21,000 viewership. At least the Rays get 52. All right, did you find them?
I did find them.
I mean, I put you in charge of so little.
Well, it's an American Idol.
Oh, perfect.
I used to be into that show so much,
Huskies,
but I just lost track.
Oh.
The Huskies have they have played great. The interesting part is tomorrow night will be the first time that they have played a team above them in the seedings in the tournament.
Right. Because they were, UConn was a 4 seed, right?
4, yep.
Yeah. Boy, it seems like the 3 seed is not a good spot to be. Because don't the 3s and the 2s end up playing each other?
Yeah, but I mean, now you're down to it. You want to be a 3, you don't want to be a 4. 4 plays 1.
Yeah, but UConn's not playing 1.
No, because I was sitting there and watched one get eliminated. That's why UConn played Arkansas. Arkansas beat Kansas.
I can't believe Arkansas beat Kansas. UConn beat the crap out of them. It wasn't even competitive. I don't know if you saw the game.
Because Arkansas wanted no part of UConn's physicality because of their fraudulent head coach of Eric Musselman.
Yeah. He's a bad coach. I mean, they had nobody to match UConn's size, that 7'2" freshman, he's good. He's raw this year, but he's going to be really good. That Hurley's a good coach, so he's tough on them, but he's good. The players, they respond to him, so it's something to root for around here, and the women are still in, so the women are looking pretty good. So I know nobody there cares about UConn, but you know what the bizarre thing about UConn? And it's a question I wanted to ask you this week. How much is the Penn State athletic department? Do they make money or lose money?
Well, okay, that's a difficult question to answer. They end up being, in the end, about $5 to $10 million in the black. But everybody, yeah, because of loans and so forth from COVID, people are across the board, across the country, every athletic department's paying it back. But their year in and year out numbers end up being in the black.
Because UConn loses $50 million a year in their athletic department. And I know a big part of it's football, because they make no money on football at all.
That's right. They make nothing on football. And that's, you know,
no, they don't own their own stadium. They, you know, the stadium is owned by United Technologies, and it's run by Madison Square Garden. So they're all getting their cut, and any of the 5,000 people who go watch a game, you know, that UConn gets nothing from football, and it costs them a fortune. But the women's program loses $600,000 a year, and that is bizarre to me. I don't. They fill Gamble Pavilion. I went to a game. The tickets were $50 a piece, and we sat in the nosebleed. I don't know how these places are losing money.
Look at Penn State Wrestling. Penn State Wrestling sells out. They have sold out, 70 of the last 72 dual meets that they've had? And they lost $1.2 million last year.
How? Inexpensive sport.
It's media rights. They were able to get about $2.2 million in revenue.
Yeah.
And the revenue is from ticket sales. They don't get much from the NCAA. It's about $45,000. And their expenses are $3.4 million, so they lost $1.2 million.
What would their expenses be?
Scholarships, recruiting, coaches' salaries, things like that, that it just all adds up. And if you don't have a media rights deal, which they don't, that then becomes a problem. Now, Penn State men's basketball makes money. Well, they make money because of the distribution of the NCAA tournament. They make money because of the television rights deal. I mean, Penn State was on TV 34 out of 37 games this year, and three of the last four were on CBS.
They must have made well over $1 million advancing in the tournament, right?
They got $700,000, get $338,000 a round. And what they do is that's a complicated formula. They're called units. The units then go to the Big Ten. The Big Ten, over a six-year span, takes the units, and they dole it out to everybody. So everybody gets an equal cut, just like everybody gets an equal cut of the bowl money.
All right. Just to lose the amount of money that... Now, Penn State made more money before with football. Didn't football pay for everything?
Football makes about $48 million. Men's basketball had a profit last year of $3.4 million.
So football had a profit of $48 million?
Yes.
Holy crap. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
wow.
That's really good.
Yeah. But see, that's where UConn's problem is. They wouldn't build a stadium here, so now they have to rent their spot. You know, they don't Penn State gets all the money from Beaver Stadium. It's not like Beaver Stadium is called the Kodak Beaver Stadium. It's just Beaver Stadium. There's nobody else dipping into the pot. But that's Connecticut doesn't do things right.
So. I mean, they're going to have to renovate it. I mean, that's going to cost money, but, you know, that's going to be donations and other ways of doing it. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKL. I think Gonzaga will beat UCLA. Oh, I'm good.
I think that might have happened already.
Yeah, I'm out of the tournament. I'm done. I picked UCLA to win, so
that's
I'm
right.
Done.
You did. All right, but
unfortunately, you got two starters hurt.
Yeah. Injuries got to them there. So last week I went 7-2. King went 6-3. Steve went 5-4. So that brings our totals to me, 27-20, King, 26-21, and Steve at 25-22. So it's still anybody's game.
Right there.
There we go. I still have two of my final four teams left. I have Houston and Alabama in the championship game, and that's who I have left. Kansas is out, and Marquette's out for me as far as my final four goes. So let's start off with those Crimson Tide as they take on San Diego State. Steve, start with you.
Alabama is a press conference mess, but on the floor they're good. So I'll go with Alabama.
Well, Bama's my champ, so I'm sticking with them. King.
San Diego State. Playing really well.
They are, yeah, honestly.
Well,
they're a tough team.
They're all playing well. If you're at this point, you've won a lot of games in a row. So, but.
That'll be a physical game tonight.
San Diego State, I saw that I like them, so why not? I don't like the crap Alabama's doing, so I get personal about it. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan either. I got you there. I can't blame you.
Now, not a fan of them.
Next one is Houston and Miami. King.
You know what? I'm taking Miami because the Miami women just knocked off Villanova, and they're going to the Elite Eight. I'm going to go with Miami. But I think this could be, you know, why not? They're playing well.
I've been nervous about this pick, but so far it's worked, and I'm going to stick with them because I just don't know about their health. But I'm going to stick with Houston there. But this game worries me tonight for the Cougars. King, or Steve, sorry, Steve.
I'm not worried about any of it. I'll take Houston.
All right, now we got one of the darlings of the tournament, the Princeton Tigers against Creighton. Steve.
Creighton's not deep. They only play six. I mean, that's it. And Princeton has out-rebounded their two previous opponents, which I think surprises a lot of people. I think that the Creighton six is better, though, and they'll win the game by 7 or 8.
King.
I think the Cinderella teams do really well. They're senior laden and all that, but once these other teams get a chance to watch them on film and adjust to what they do, then it changes at the Sweet 16. So I'm going to go with Creighton. I think I'll knock Princeton off.
Yeah, I think that Kevin's exactly right. Once people have a chance to really scout them, and this is the round right here. You've had a couple of extra days to do it.
Now, listen, I know everybody is playing well, of course, as they made it to this point, but I still have not been that impressed with Creighton, and I like the way Princeton's playing right now. I think the way they rebound the ball will help them in a situation like this, because those effort types of plays as well, if you're winning that physical battle and a team like Creighton also only plays six guys typically, I think that plays in Princeton's favor a little bit. So I'm going with the Tigers to get to the Elite Eight.
I mean, the only thing that affects you if you're playing six is foul trouble. You've got longer timeouts in the NCAA tournament plus an extra timeout. That's a long one. So that's why the legs part's not an issue.
I got Princeton if they play Jeopardy.
Oh, there you go. As you should.
I love it.
And then finally for tonight's Sweet 16 matchup, Xavier and Texas. Steve.
Man, I thought if Penn State could beat Texas, they were definitely going to beat Xavier. So if I thought that, then I'm going to take Texas.
I agree. I think Texas whoops on Xavier tonight. King.
I got to go Big East. I'll take Xavier. is the Big Ten upset? That they really didn't perform well?
Well, I mean, you think about it. They only had two teams seeded in the top four. I mean, so...
Yeah, the seedings don't really... Obviously, they matter, but, you know, look at Penn State. I mean, Penn State could have won that game against Texas. I mean, that... I was surprised they didn't do... Purdue was a shocker, but...
Well, yeah, Purdue's the one you don't expect. I did not expect Indiana to get out of the weekend. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't expect Purdue to get out of the weekend. I said that for 2 months, Matt. They wouldn't get out of the first weekend, right?
Yeah, you did. Absolutely.
Because the guards
are too...
I thought
Penn State was a Sweet 16 team. I really did.
I thought they had a real shot at it.
I am in the Elite Eight as well, but I also had said Texas was the only roadblock.
Yeah, they're good. But I think Xavier's going to knock them off. So I'm just going odd. It's the both tournaments, men's and women. Look at the women's. I don't know if you follow it.
Yeah, that's one of the more wild tournaments I've seen.
It's the first time in 25 years the number one seeds got knocked out in the 32. So they usually, the women's side goes 1 and 2 all the way to the end.
And then finally, Elite Eight games for tomorrow. We've got Florida Atlantic and Kansas State. I got Kansas State. I think them and UConn are the best teams right now. Steve.
Kansas State.
King?
Yeah, I got K-State. Yeah, Kansas, very good team.
UConn-Zaga. I'm rolling with UConn. I think they're also the other good team in this tournament. Left. King, I guess, I know you got UConn.
Yeah, and not just because I'm here. They're very good. I mean, they got an inside game and an outside game.
Steve?
And play with anybody. So.
Gonzaga.
All right. Going with Zags. All right. We'll lock them in.
Well, have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
We'll see you. It's been fun.
Enjoy more good American
tournament.
Idol.
Real good tournament. I'm glad Penn State advanced and had a great year. So. Let's hope my town here can celebrate.